Second in our series on the one another passages, it'll come at the end. I'm going to read the other passage first, and then we'll get to the one another passage at the end. So, late part of January, we had the joy of having all three of our grandsons at our house for a few days when the little one from Alberta was baptized. So they came on up, and we had the three of them at home. Now, their ages range between 3 and 6, and to say that the house was busy might be a little bit of an understatement. And if you know the family that they come from, then you'll understand that it was busy in that house. And of course, it was fun, and they enjoyed each other and playing with each other. It was winter also, so a lot of the stuff happened in the house. So at some stage, we had them down in the basement, and there's a little bit of a jungle gym thing down there. And they were up and down on this thing, hanging, doing all kinds of stuff that you kind of just say, please, Lord, keep them safe. And it was fun and games until it turned into comparison and competition. And all of a sudden it was, I can do that better than you. No, you're doing that wrong. Opa, look at me. Look at me. I'm the best. And before you know it, comparison and competition turned three little angels into three little tyrants. Because that's what it always does, doesn't it? This competition, comparing thing. In the story that we're going to read first today, we're going to see that exactly how this happens, and it threatens to mess up something that's supposed to be a really beautiful moment and just a time together to be in Jesus' presence. You know the story well. It comes from Luke chapter 10, and I'm going to read from the New Living Translation, verse 38, Ted. Luke 10, 38, as Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught. But Martha, and there's that biblical but Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. And then there's your biblical but again. But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you're worried and upset over all these details? There's only one thing worth being concerned about, and Mary's discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. I don't think I've preached on this passage in the 22 years that I've been here at Central, so this is a first for me. And usually when folks preach on this passage, they talk about the two personality types. So there's the Mary, the quiet, the contemplative, sitting kind of person, and then there's the Martha, the go-getter and go do this and busy one. I want to change the camera angle a little bit. And I want the angle to focus a bit on Martha. But I want us to look at Martha in her busyness and her focus on doing this big dinner and getting it ready and doing all the stuff and details around that. But then ask ourselves, what was her motive for doing that? What was her motive for being so busy and wanting to prepare this and getting this ready and putting it out there? The text gives us a few little notes to just guide us as we walk into this. Don't you be chuckling at that. The first little thing that it gives us, it says, and Martha welcomed him into her home. That's an interesting take for a moment, because it was Martha, Mary, and Lazarus that lived there. It was all of their home. But she kind of, and it's very interesting if you look at her name. Martha comes from the Aramaic. It's the female of the word mar, which in Aramaic meant the man of the house, the one who owned the house. And so this kind of makes her the mistress, the one who owns the place. So she's kind of taking up this role, even with her name. Second thing that we see, Martha decided to take upon herself this thing. I'm going to make this big dinner. And there's a lot of details that need to be taken care of. She didn't have a Carrie and Elsie to help her. That was her mistake. Martha was going to do this thing with all the details around. And then maybe the most important little line that I'm going to leave with you, and then we'll walk through the story. Verse 40 says, with that big but. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner. So hold that, and now let's walk through the story. And forgive me, I'm going to retell it with all the stuff that you didn't read in there in modern day English. So, doorbell rings, Martha's right at the door, opens the door, and there's Jesus and the disciples. Oh, come on in, Jesus, so glad to have you. Come on in, prepared a beautiful dinner for you, getting that ready, come on in. And as she gets them in, the timer goes off in the kitchen to remind her that the ginger soup that she's cooking is ready to be taken off. Excuse me, just got to go check on the food in the kitchen. Back into the kitchen, takes the pot off the stove, takes a spoon to just taste that it's all good, and she nearly gags on the soup because it's so bland, and she realizes, oh my goodness, in all the stuff that I was doing, I forgot the one detail to put the ginger in the soup and make a ginger soup. So she says from the kitchen, I'm going to have to make the soup again. And when no one answers, she goes in to where they're sitting and she says, dinner is going to be a little late. And Jesus said, Martha, it's okay. Forget about the soup. It's fine. No. Have to make the soup. Martha's back. Instead of just letting go, what is Martha's goal? I'm going to make a big dinner for Jesus. Why? What's the motive? Keep that in the back of your mind. Why am I going to make this? She could have just left it. No, I'm going to make the soup. And when they eat the soup, they're going to say, oh, Martha, that's heavenly. That must be the broth of angels. Didn't you read that in the text? Sorry, I must have left that out. As she gets the pot ready again, she remembers, oh, the meatloaf's in the oven. And as she checks that, because the basting has to go on, oh, my goodness, there's the tray with the wonderful mint tea. Those of you who remember when we were in Israel, wherever you go, you get your little glass of mint tea when you come in. Forgot to take that out. One of the details I forgot. She takes it in and said, oh, I'm so... And as she walks in, no one cares about that because Jesus is telling a story about this young boy who messed up at home, took his stuff and went to a far land, and now he's sitting there feeding himself with the pigs. And Mary's sitting there at Jesus' feet and she's just listening. And no one even cares about the mentee. She puts it down and she gives Mary this kind of, come on, come help me look. And Mary's got nothing to do with her. She's just listening to Jesus. So she's back in the kitchen, and now she's slicing the veggies. But boy, as she's working on this, she's building up a temperature that's way warmer than that soup that's boiling on the stove. And Martha's moment changes into Martha's resentment. What's this? I'm making this dinner for Jesus. Shouldn't Mary be in here? What's this? Sitting there with him? Listening to him, she should be helping me. And then she does what we do when we try and get a little bit of attention, right? She starts banging the pots and she's throwing the cutlery. And when this doesn't do anything, there's this big... And Martha's moment goes from Martha's moment to Martha's resentment to Martha's meltdown. Verse 40. And Martha went in and she said to Jesus, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister, no, wrong one, Ted, just leave it there, that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. From moment to resentment to meltdown. What happened? Why? Why did this happen to Martha, who was so excited about all of this, who was so ready to do all of this, and all of a sudden this Martha is all over the place? I told you that there's a word in there that was really important. We're going to get back to it. I think the big word in Ted, if you click that one, it will change. Martha was distracted, it said. The word distracted in the Greek means to be dragged away, to be pushed around all over the place. And we know how that works. And that's her problem. Martha was distracted. Instead of for a moment going, sitting down and just relaxing with Jesus and drinking that in, Martha was all over the place. She was so trying to impress, and instead of impress, everything became a mess. What was Martha's mistake? Martha, remember I said, we'll turn the camera, and the camera angle asks the question, what was her motive for putting on this big dinner? Let's see. What was her mistake? Her motive was wrong, because it was not to serve Jesus. It was to put on a show for Jesus. It wasn't to lift Jesus up. It was to promote Martha. And you know what happens with self-promotion, right? Self-promotion is all about who? Me. It's all about promoting me. It's all about the self. Doesn't care about the others. Self-promotion says, yeah, look at her. There she's sitting. But look at me. I'm doing all the work. Self-promotion even bosses Jesus around. Hey, Jesus, tell that woman to get up and to come work with me. Who would you rather sit next to? Martha or Mary? It's a relative question, right? Because here's the thing. There might be a few Marthas among us today, and it has nothing to do with gender. There might be a little Martha in each one of us. And here's the problem with that. When my service of Jesus, when my following of Jesus is all about me, I'm on a very, very, very thin ice, because it will never, never work out. We've seen that in churches. When churches are all about me, my, us, putting on a show, it doesn't work. They will fail. Because our job in this place is not to put on a show. Our job is not, when we stand up here and we have a team that's leading us in worship, for them to put on a show. When you start putting on a show, you can go home, please. Because then we're doing the Martha thing. Then it's all about me. And it's all about my dinner that I'm doing and not about Jesus. It is a joy to be with you. If we have a piece of meat, is that okay with you? And Jesus is going to say, that's fine. If we don't have meat, I'll make some. Because you're worried about the wrong details. We've seen that when preachers become the one and the it, God will cut them down to size, because it's not about you. When you're up here, the moment it's about you, you're done, because you have nothing to stand on, because it's all about Jesus. That's why it's so amazing to be in a church like this, where it's not about the guy up here, but it's about all of those out there who are caring, who are loving, who are concerned, and who live such a life that people see Jesus and say, how do I find that Jesus? How can I sit with you at the feet of Jesus? How can I get more of him and less of me? Because if we are working to promote ourselves and live off what people are saying of us, it's a yo-yo life and it ends with pain and hurt. Ask the poor kids who live in a silly world in which you live off social media and your life is all about thumbs ups and likes and little hearts and 10,000 followers and 1 million followers and you don't even know 10 of the 1 million. But following Jesus is so amazing. It's not about likes. It's not about my followers. It's about me following him and sitting at his feet and being okay if there's nothing but a glass of water, because I can drink of the water of life. That's why, and Ted, now we can go to that one, and mine is falling from my Bible, so I might as well just take my little piece out from Philippians, and this is our one another passage. Listen to what Paul says. He says, don't do anything from selfish ambition or from a cheap desire to boast. Does that sound a little Martha? But be humble toward one another, always considering others better than yourselves. And then look out for one another's interests, not just for your own. What is our motive when we serve Jesus? What is our motive when we come together on a Sunday and we are in this place? It's not promoting ourselves. It's not about trying to impress Jesus or impress others. It is there so that we can serve one another, that we can be there for each other. And thank you. I experienced that this past week. It's been a miserable kind of 3, 4, 5 weeks for me with my health. And it's been so amazing how people have loved and cared. I was so all about myself because I'm so sorry for myself and I'm feeling sick. You know how we go, right? And I'm a guy. We're even worse, right? And then I wake up and in the morning and around 9 o'clock when I start looking at my phone, there's a text from someone, and I won't say her name. And there's this beautiful prayer. And I'm thinking, you've got a whole family that you have to take care of and that you have to get to school and to work and to love. And you took time to write me a text and a prayer for me from the Lord. And then I remember this. Don't just care about yourself. It's not about the Martha thing. But for one another. Look out for one another. Late afternoon. Hey, I'm thinking of you. Hope you're feeling a little better. Yesterday, before I had to come and speak here, there's this text saying some honey and some hot water and some sugar that goes in there, then that'll help to get you through all of this. And it touches my heart because there are so many Marys who sit at the feet of Jesus, and they hear, and the most important details they hear. Care for each other. Love one another. Be humble toward each other. Maybe one of the most beautiful things we said about Scott Geddes yesterday was this brilliant man who was so loved and so good in all he did, but his humility came out over and over and over. And that's it. When we sit at his feet, that's what we learn. We're here for each other, my friends. Hear me. I'm not God's MVP. You're not God's VIPs. We're all God's children. We're all blessed and washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus. That little buddy boy this morning that was baptized is as important as a 99-year-old who has served Jesus Christ for all of her life. It's as important as someone who's sitting and who says, I'm still struggling. I'm not sure of my relationship with Jesus, because Jesus is working in you. And all we need to do, we just need to live that and be those instruments. And here's the thing. If you and I are not going to do that, the Lord says, the rocks will cry it out. And when the prophet didn't want to speak, the donkey preached. Don't look at me like that. So can we make this practical? Why don't you do something this week? It's March break, so you have a little more time. Why don't you, just from Monday to Friday, each day, in the morning, before you start your day, go think of someone. Someone that has blessed your life, someone that has been there for you. And take a moment and write him or her, or them, if there's more of them that were part of that. Write them a little note, or write him or her a little note, or an email, or a text, or pick up your telephone as we did in the old days, and just call them or write them and say, thank you for what you did for me in my life. Thank you for being there for me on a day that you might not even remember 5 years ago, and you were there and you loved me. One person for each day, just for 5 days. And you see the blessing that will be for you. Because be humble toward one another. Look out for one another, not just for yourself. Because the details, not so cool. Mary has discovered the most important thing. Sitting at the feet. Amen. Take a few moments of silent prayer. Thank you, Lord, that you know our hearts, and we can just place them out there for you. And thank you that you walk into those little crevices and corners that we try to hide sometimes, that are a little messy, and sometimes a little bit full of ourselves. Thank you that you fill them with yourself. And when you do that, Lord, you change our hearts. They're filled with love and compassion and care, so that you may shine in this world. Not our big dinners, which end up in big messes, but you, Lord, your care and your love. Help us to love one another in such a way. We ask in Jesus' name.